And turn with me, please, in your copies of God's Word to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll begin looking at verse 10 to verse 15 this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is right there in your Bible, 2 Timothy being toward the end of the New Testament. So Paul, in this chapter, has been writing to Timothy of grave increases of sin, of sinful people that are to be expected and avoided, and their folly will be plain to all. And in the passage before us, Paul would remind Timothy of a better example that Timothy has been following, and other examples that he should remind himself of. And so 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, I'm going to read through the end of the chapter, but I'm also going to return to verses 16 and 17 next week, Lord willing, critical verses for our understanding of the Word of God. Hear now God's holy and inerrant Word. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray again briefly. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the great physician. Lord, not only are you the one who provides for our bodies, but you are the one who is able to cure our souls, to raise the dead. Lord, we are needful of you to use this, your physician's instrument, this, your scalpel. Lord, use the sword of the Spirit. Cut away from us unbelief. Lord, give us discernment. And Lord, mold us and shape us after the image of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whom will you follow? Now, I'm aware we live in an age of social media where follower has become a technical term for someone who will regularly receive posts, selfies, tweets, updates. But the reality is that we as humans naturally follow others. We will find someone else as a mentor, an example, and our thoughts and attitudes will be shaped by theirs, leading to actions and entire lives that show their influence. This tendency we have to follow is so strong that many people who say that they are free-thinking and refuse to follow the crowd are actually following the advice of just a different crowd that advocated for them to do so. Given this reality of our nature to follow, and given Paul's warning that we should expect sinful people in the world, whom we follow is absolutely crucial. Paul commends Timothy for whom he has followed in this passage and urges him to continue. Following his example, we need to analyze whom we are following. And if we have been blessed with good examples and we have been following such, we need to be encouraged to continue in what is good. And remember from whom you learned it. Remember from whom you learned it. At first, in this passage, we find that Paul talks about Paul. He says, verse 10, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, and so on and so forth. In contrast to the false teachers who are lovers of self, lovers of money, and likewise, from earlier in this chapter, all who are to be avoided, Paul tells Timothy, you followed a different example. And Paul means you've been following me. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Now, it may come as a surprise to you that Paul talks about Paul. This surprises some because they have heard what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And that Paul everywhere preached Christ and him crucified. That was Paul's message. That was what he continued to return to, is that Christ is Lord. Christ is the one who's been crucified for sinners. And many take that to mean that a Christian should always draw attention away from himself. He should never mention his trials, never acknowledge his graces. He should brush off any personal offense against him. After all, you know, like the John the Baptist said, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. But Paul talks about Paul. That means we need to let Paul explain to us what he meant when he wrote, what we proclaim is not ourselves. Paul evidently did not think it was wrong to speak about himself. He goes on at length here, as well as in several other places, if we consult other of his letters we have in the New Testament. Now, doing this, Paul talking about Paul, is crucial to Paul's argument in this section. Notice verse 14, Timothy is to continue in what he has learned, knowing from whom you learned it. See, Paul is talking about Paul because it was crucial that Timothy know who Paul is. The principle here is that we need to know our teachers. We need to know whom we're following. Paul has been warning Timothy and anyone else hearing this letter, including us, that there are false teachers who, verse 8, are corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. There are some who you shouldn't follow. They're false teachers. In fact, it should be, verse 9, that their folly will be plain to all. You need to show discernment. Everyone should be able to show that discernment who is a Christian. What this implies is that Paul should be listened to in this letter, not just because he's right, but because of his conduct, his aim in life, his love. Because his lifestyle affirms it. Now, friends, I suspect that that is a shock to many of us. Many of us don't think along the lines of that principle. We're used to, there's social media, there's the internet. You know, you want to know an answer? Check Google. Well, the problem is, who's Google? If it gives you a quote from someone, obviously it'll link you to what someone wrote. Who is the person that wrote that? How do you know their credentials? Do you know that they're right? They might be lying. How do you know whom you're listening to? How do you know what you're following? See, Paul is advocating that we need to know. We need to be able to look at the character of people. And that is what he is saying to Timothy. You know all this of me. Therefore, you should continue in what you've heard and learned from me and others. Friends, do you know from whom you have learned what you have learned? Friends, I think this passage is a wake-up call to us that we need to know the character of those that we are listening to, those whom we are following. Friends, this calls us to show great discernment. We should check the reliability of our sources. We should refuse to believe anonymous reports because any liar could be behind them. Beware people who say all the things that you like to hear online or in some other context. They say all the things you like, but you don't actually get a venue by which you can see into their life. To see, do they even have the fruit of the Spirit? Are they even a Christian? Which is exactly why Paul reminds Timothy, as he does verse 10, of my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Paul is reminding Timothy, he's the real deal. He has the fruit of the Spirit. His conduct is consistent with his teaching, his aim in life, his love. They all align together. They all show a life. We talked this morning about life. He has life in God that God gave him. Now, by the way, among these things that Paul mentions about himself, Paul is a man who speaks of his love here. Now, I know often today men don't talk about love, but biblical love is a manly and glorious thing, and I'd commend here Kyle Borg's book on the subject. Paul reminds Timothy of these things, and it meant all the more because Timothy actually knew him. You see, while we are meant to overhear this, what makes it so powerful is the first one he's writing to, the first ears this fell on, was somebody who knew and could attest to you. Yes, I know all these things, Paul. I have followed these things. I've seen this in you. Friends, you don't get to know someone's aim in life from hearing a 2-minute audio clip. This is not just a remember, that one time. Although Paul does mention specific things he encountered. We're going to look at those in the next verses. But neither here is Paul claiming to be sinless. And Paul will other places speak of who will deliver me from this body of death. But this is not Paul saying follow me because I'm perfect. But it is to say that there is a reality of what God's grace does in our lives, and that should all the more help us to trust those that show such fruit of the Spirit, show such impact of the work of God. And Paul is saying to Timothy, you have followed this. Over Timothy's shoulder would have been people who may have been tempted to follow false teachers. Perhaps they, even as they heard this letter read to Timothy, they're being warned, they're being rebuked for believing and following lies that they're spreading like gangrene. But Timothy has followed these things. And so this serves a reminder that not everybody's like that. There are others that you should be paying attention to. Paul was doing what was right. Paul was shaped by the gospel. Timothy is shaped by the gospel. You have followed Paul's example. This sets Timothy apart. Timothy is the real deal. He's followed Paul's life's teachings. And so if those original hearers in Ephesus, if they're thinking there's false teachers, they're also being pointed to the one that they should be listening to. Listen to Timothy. He follows these things as well. Now, this calls us to ask, given that we're not in Ephesus, we're not the original hearers, we're not maybe having explicitly the Hymenaeus and the Philetus who are on the one end and the Timothy on the other end, those names before us. It does call us to ask, who though are our teachers? Are we seeking instructors? Are we seeking the company of godly people? And really taking the time to get to know them, to know them under the hood, maybe when not everybody else is looking. Could we say then that we know them well enough that we can have this same instruction, this same encouragement to our following their teaching, conduct, aim, faith, patience, love, and steadfastness? Friends, it is hard to get to know someone you don't spend time with. I think this may be why we offer so many opportunities to spend time together as a church, prayer meetings, small groups, fellowship lunches, breakfasts. We should be taking this time not just as a social thing, but to get to know God's word and get to know each other. Get to know whom we are, whom is influencing our life. And if you are called to be a good Christian influence on others, a teacher, not many are called to be teachers, James reminds us, but some are. Are you growing in the fruit of the Spirit such that you could, without boasting, without hypocrisy, speak as Paul does? Could you level-headedly write this as a letter that people are going to read and hear, that you can talk about your conduct, your aim in life, your faith, your patience, love, steadfastness as proof that people should listen to you? A friend, the theme of the past several weeks has been in this letter, as we've looked at it, cleanse yourselves. Perhaps as we're hearing this focus on the character of those who would teach, perhaps as a reminder to all of us, we need to be paying a close attention. What are our lives like? We need to be maybe cleansing ourselves. We need to be turning from sin. We need to be working on our walk with the Lord, seeking to live lives of integrity, repenting of sin, learning from Christ. Of course, this list goes beyond just Paul's character qualification, because next he mentions what he suffered. Paul talks about Paul, including persecutions. You see, Paul's life has not all been smooth sailing. Paul has endured much, verse 11. He says, "My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra." Now, those place names are significant because we could turn to the book of Acts and we can find those same place names. We can find the particular persecutions and sufferings that Paul is referring to. Let me just give you an overview here. In Antioch, Paul was in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Crowds gathered, and the Jews were filled with jealousy. They sharply contradicted Paul, reviling him, inciting the powerful people in the community to persecute him and other co-laborers and drive them out. And then to Iconium. This is where unbelieving Jews poisoned the minds of the Greeks to not listen to Paul. And yet God granted Paul and his fellow missionaries to do signs and wonders. So the city was divided over Paul and the teachings of these men, and the antagonists attempted to stone Paul, who then fled to Lystra and to Derbe. Derbe, by the way, is where Timothy is from. But the rabble followed Paul. They succeeded in stoning him, and they dragged his body out of the city. And when his disciples gathered around him, he rose up. He wasn't dead, praise God. And he kept going. He kept preaching. Now, of course, if you know the book of Acts, you know that there's much more. These were but the beginning of some of what Paul suffered and endured, which actually makes an interesting detail about this list as he's giving it to Timothy. Paul doesn't list the more recent suffering, for instance, his arrest. We know at this point he's in chains. He's actually giving a throwback to his first missionary journey, even particular events surrounding when he had first met Timothy. And perhaps that's part of the point. Paul wants to remind Timothy of the beginning. Timothy has followed these things. He's paid special attention to what Paul endured. And an implication is that even if Timothy hasn't suffered in all these trials in the same way Paul did, that Timothy's going to have his own trials. And for one, Paul's prepping Timothy for in this letter, Timothy's going to need to stand against the false teachers, to avoid evildoers in an age of evil doing. In many ways, Paul is readying Timothy for what Jesus warned. John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you. And Jesus said, remember this. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Now, I know that we have lived in a country that has long protected religious liberty as a constitutional right. We do not think of ourselves as those who are persecuted, but Paul affirms what Jesus said with equal plainness. Verse 12, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, that makes sense for Timothy. He's going to have to stand against the false teachers. He's also living in Ephesus. We looked at the Ephesian letter this morning. There's all kinds the workers' guilds and the national requirement to burn incense to Caesar. There's all this pressure against Christians. But what about us? Do all godly followers of Jesus suffer persecution? Should you be expected to be arrested tomorrow? Well, given recent actions of some federal agencies, if you protest Planned Parenthood or speak up at a school board meeting, you might. That's a joke. But friends, what I want to say is that this has always been the case. Christians should always expect persecution. This is true, but perhaps not in the same degree. But if you are truly living like God's promises are what are most important, if you are sensitive to sin in your own life, if you confess that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him, then get ready to be misunderstood, disliked, passed by for promotions, talked about behind your back, maligned, hated by all. Now, I say that not to discourage you, but it is a reality that sinful people will go from bad to worse. They don't want you telling them truth when the idols they're serving and the lies that they're spreading are so important to them. But be encouraged. The Lord rescued Paul from these persecutions he endured. And the same God rules over all things now. God is still faithful. He restrains evil, even evils we're not even aware about. He restrains them. He protects his people. He will protect you. Trust in him. But next, the focus shifts from Paul's example to the examples from Timothy's family. He reminds Timothy, you've been taught from your youth. He says, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Timothy had the privilege of learning the scriptures from his youth. Young people, I want you to think about what Paul says here. Part of what has shaped Timothy is what he was acquainted with from his childhood. Your children, you kids, some of you youths, this is saying that the things that you're learning right now about God are foundational for your life. God is shaping you, even you little ones. God is shaping you in a way that he wants you to be. So friends, little friends, pay all the more attention. Love that God is at work in you. Friends, there are many people who came to Christ late in life, and they wish that they had the knowledge of Scripture that some of you 13-year-olds have. Don't take this for granted. It's a good thing. All the more believe it. Timothy learned and firmly believed. Dear children, what will all that scripture memory and all those Sunday school lessons do for you if you harden your heart against them? Friends, there are children from unbelieving households that might have the excuse, I was never exposed to the scriptures, but you don't have that excuse. You have so many covenant blessings. Continue in them. Cherish them. Grow in them. And you are to do this even if you have a non-ideal family situation. Timothy's family was complex. We learn from Acts 16:1 that Timothy didn't have a believing father, which means that we shouldn't expect that young Timothy was disciplined in the Lord when he received correction from his dad. We shouldn't expect that he saw any of the fruit of the Spirit modeled in his father. His father would not be in the habit of speaking the truth to him in love. Or there's other reasons why people experience lack of a godly fatherly influence. So my background, my father was a believer, and I praise God for that. I mean, he had his faults, but it was his aim in life to love the Lord, and I know that. And yet he died young. I was 13 years old. Fatherlessness is experienced by many, whether by desertion, death, or fathers who are physically there but absent. And while this is to be lamented, God can reach into that brokenness. Friends, this may be why Timothy and Paul's relationship has been so strong. Paul is a fatherly figure for Timothy, whose father was not there for him, at least not as a spiritual leader. Friends, God can use an uncle or an elder at church. God can use men in your life. We can praise God for such father figures. Or we can seek to be that fatherly figure for someone who doesn't have it. And yet that, we're losing track of what Paul was talking about in pointing to Timothy's childhood. And that's that God gave him two parents. Which means that Paul here speaks about knowing those from whom you learned it, and that he learned it from childhood means that he's referring to the blessing of a believing mother and grandmother. In fact, you can turn back to chapter 1, verse 5, and we know their names. Grandmother Lois, Mother Eunice, these are the ones that taught young Timothy the faith. Which means, maybe you are a mom or a grandmother today, or a sister or aunt or cousin or neighbor. God can use you to teach the word to your children or to those children that God puts in your life. But the thrust of this passage, though, if you are one who has that kind of influence, is to practice what you preach. Whatever little Timothy is in your care is to know from whom he is learning. And that means that your conduct, your aim, your faith, your patience, your love, your steadfastness, these matter for you. For either these will affirm or undercut what you teach. And so mothers, when teaching your children bedtime prayers, it matters if you just lost your temper 10 minutes beforehand. Children perceive so much more than we often expect, or more than they let on. Perhaps the way that you teach your child to confess his sin will start by you confessing yours. Let them see what keeps you coming back to Christ, what keeps you going on in the faith, what spurs you on, even when you're confronted with your own sin. These are things that need to be taught as well. Parents, teach these things by modeling them. And what did Timothy's mother and grandmother teach him? Friends, they taught him the Scriptures. The Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation. The best word we can speak is God's word. Now, this is so important that we'll return to verses 16 and 17 next week, but the thrust is to continue. Continue. Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Often, we don't need a new lesson or a new duty or a new responsibility. We don't need a new conversion experience. We simply need to continue in what we have learned and believed. Is that what you need this evening? Friends, we need this sometimes because we do grow weary in doing good. Like the Israelites on a steady diet of manna, we can tire even though we're eating the food of angels. We can make the mistake of thinking the truth that we learned in childhood, that's only for the kids. That's not true. It's for you. We are to continue in this. We need to be told, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. All the more so because of whom you learned it from. Yes, Paul is saying, Timothy, you know me. You know my character. You know my suffering. You're going to suffer too. But you can trust me more so. You can trust God. Your mother and grandmother, who changed your diapers, they fed you and cared for you, they taught you the same Scriptures as you've heard from me. Trust God. Don't depart from these things, but continue in them. Friends, this is a great testimony to spur you to continue. I believe in Christ because I have seen his power in shaping the lives of those who taught me the faith. This helps you to resist those who twist and pervert Scripture because you see the rotten fruit, you see the works of the flesh of those who are false. That's discernment we all need. We all need to be able to see, to have their works, find them out. We need to show discernment. And this gives all of us caution not to rush to be teachers because we know that those who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Now, friends, having been through all of this, we are encouraged, I believe, to grow, to be cleansing ourselves, to be seeking to grow in the fruit of the Spirit because of how important this is. And yet, as great as all that is, I can understand if maybe not all of you have heard the news that I've heard. I have heard news that there was a man who was, I believe, a Christian pastor, a teacher in a Christian school. And in the news, it's reported that he started a fire in his own home and he attacked his own family violently. Friends, sin happens. And this can shake an entire community. Perhaps right now you're shaken. You're shaken. I don't know if I can trust any man. I don't know if I can trust any person for the wickedness of what men and women are capable of. Friends, this passage is a reminder to you. Not everybody's like that. God is still at work. There are still people that God has for you to learn from. And friends, if you're still cautious, if you're still shaken, recognize where Paul is ultimately putting his trust. It's the Scriptures. It's what God has said. Who has brought him through every one of his persecutions? It is God himself. And so maybe you're rightly shaken in your trust of mere men. Do not shake in your trust of Jesus Christ. Because if you want to know someone who can tell you of his faith, his aim in life, his conduct, his patience, his love, his steadfastness, you want to hear of his persecutions, you want to hear of him being nailed to the cross, I can tell you of such a one. And such a one will never fail you. Even though he lives right now, he will not tomorrow change and turn to be a wicked man. Because behind all these good examples, all these godly men who are taught by the Spirit is the one man, Jesus Christ. And you can know him. Dear ones, do you know him? Do you know the character of Jesus and that you can trust him? And yes, that means he does shape men. Yes, that does mean he shapes mothers and grandmothers. You can learn from others. But dear ones, let them point you. Let them tell you, as Paul said elsewhere, follow me as I follow Christ. Let them point you to a righteous and upright Lord who is ever worthy of your trust and will never fail you. And if you know him, if you know such a one as this, continue. Don't be stopped. Don't be put off. Continue in what is good, dear ones. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the same God that you were to Paul. You delivered Paul from all his trials. We can trust you to deliver us. Lord, thank you that you delivered Jesus Christ not in delivering him from the cross, but in raising him from the dead. Thank you that his resurrection is our resurrection. Thank you that Jesus Christ lives now. And Lord Jesus, that we can know you. Lord, thank you for shaping the lives of men and women, that we can see those that have been shaped according to your power. We see the fruit of your Spirit at work in them. Lord, thank you for godly examples. Thank you for faithful men and women. Lord, would you give more? Lord, would you make us faithful? Oh, Lord, that you would raise up another generation. Pass on this faith to faithful men who will teach others also. Lord, in all of this, we recognize it is your work. It is your glory. It is your word that we need. And so, Lord, strengthen our faith. Lord, shape our aim in life. Lord, change our conduct. Increase our patience. Fill us with love because you have first loved us. Give us steadfastness, and Lord, be with us, even should we suffer for your name's sake. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.